Hello, lovelies. Welcome to this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please remember to like, share, review, and subscribe.
So my daughter asked me yesterday if I ever feel lonely. Of course, I told her, yes, I do. And I asked her why she asked that. She said it's because sometimes she's at school and she's surrounded by people, but she's still lonely because she's not with me. She's not with her family. Made sense. And of course, as the universe would have it, loneliness was the topic I was considering for today anyway. In fact, I had already put a little thought into it and was pretty sure that that's what we'd be talking about. So I took that as a sign, of course, that it was the right topic for today. Loneliness is something that many encounter on their path to awakening. But it's not loneliness in the way that people think, or even that they first interpret it when they feel it, right? Along the spiritual path, there usually comes a time when we realize that the people around us are not on the same page that we are. Usually it's early on, but sometimes it comes up later. Sometimes it comes up as we evolve past the point that we were, where the people who were like-minded around us don't seem to quite fit anymore. I have one client in particular that is an interesting study in this idea. We'll call him John. That's not his name. So he's been evolving a lot, right? When I first met him, he was an addict and his life was in a real tailspin, right? He's been up and down and sober and relapsed over the years that I've known him. His life started surrounded by broken family. And then he evolved into an adult life around materialism and insecure bullshit, eventually became an addict and, sex, drugs, you name it, all of it. Then, you know, as he was getting sober, he became part of a business with narcissistic bosses. And so he had that narcissism around him. And then his AA community for him was just feeding the negative thought processes, right? Sitting in there and listening to people rehash the negative wasn't helping him change. It was keeping him in that place of being attached to loss. And he relapsed again and again until finally he had enough, right? Interesting side note that his big aha moment actually came during one of his relapses when he went back and he read his fourth step and was able to see quite clearly through his own bullshit. That said, so he goes back to rehab, he gets sober again, and this time he changes his life, right? He changes everything. He quits working for these narcissistic people. He begins his own business. And he cuts way back on the amount of time he's spending with the people he considered friends and his AA community, which was not particularly working for him. And he begins to fill his life with the pursuit of his own business, his best friend, who is a positive influence, spending time with me. Thank you, John. And also with listening to different podcasts and speakers. Right, he's listening to Tony Robbins and Wayne Dyer, Eckhart Tolle, T-Day Jakes. You know, he's filling up that space with something positive. And yet he's finding himself lonely. He's realizing, you know, I feel great and everything's great. I don't really have any people in my life anymore. And he happens to make that comment to another friend. It wasn't me, but he did share this story with me. When he said his life was lived mostly alone, and he was worried about this because he had heard that we are the sum total of the five people we spend the most time with. He said, but I don't even spend time with five people. And that other person, through their wisdom and insight, said, Are you kidding me? Your five people are some of the most remarkable people on this planet. You're spending time every day with entrepreneurs and amazing, successful, spiritually enlightened, excited about life human beings. You are filling and feeding your mind and your world with that. You, my dear, are never alone. That freed something up inside of him, right? I mean, technology gets a bad rap, and sometimes it should, okay? But we must not undervalue the ability we have to make friends with remarkable people, to touch ideas and places in the world that we could have never accessed a decade ago. When used well, we can change the influx of information from negative to positive. And that goes a long way towards the mastery of our own minds, our own emotions. We can choose, beloved, we can choose who we fill our life with. And truly, we should take nothing for granted. Music, TV, books, news, people. I mean, of course, there are places where we have no control. And sometimes that is where and why we feel lonely. Work and school are a great example of these things, right? My daughter at school has no control over who she is stuck with, right? She has a teacher, she has friends, most good, some not. And she can't do too much about that other than when given the choice, choose carefully, right? And so what happens? She misses the people who see her clearly. She misses the people she feels that spiritual connection to. And so do we. And the less opportunities we have to be around people we feel spiritually connected to, the greater this loneliness may seem to be. So much like John, you can use some of these wonderful technology-based things, podcasts, whatever, to keep in touch, to make friends with people who inspire you, people who keep your thinking in a positive, healthy, vibrant place. You can do that as much as possible, right? We can choose the best we can when we can. And then, of course, there are other times where we choose to be with that person that does not help us out. We are the sum total of the people we hang out with, and yet sometimes we choose people for arbitrary reasons or reasons that seem to make sense, right? Maybe it's the whole family, right? The kids all get along and everything else. I have one friend, and every time I think of her, I cough. It's a reaction to her negativity. If I spent all my free time with her, I know it would be contagious. This is a friend, though, not a client. She is not someone who's asking me to take her apart and put her back together. In fact, she has never once asked me for my advice. And let's be clear, unless someone asks you for your advice, giving it to them is wasting your breath. Not only will they push against it, but you'll actually set them backwards because they're going to be resistant to you thinking you know what they need or what's up for them. I love this person. I care about her. I always want to spend time with her until I think about it, right? She's never asking me for my advice. I'm choosing to be around her, or if it's somebody you're stuck with. We have to control our inner dialogue, right? If I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, I want to fix you. I want to tell you the spiritual truth. I want to help you move through this. And this is making me crazy. We will manifest a sore throat from holding in those words. The last time I was around her, I made that mistake. If we're choosing that moment or stuck in that moment, our inner dialogue has to be better. we have to be thinking, as she speaks, the universe brings her wisdom and understanding. We have to be thinking, this is how I serve her. She is not here for me to fix her. She needs someone to listen. If we can do that, then we can get through the experience, not only without a sore throat, but also enlightened in a lot of ways. And we won't walk away from it feeling lonely, despite having been present. I want you to ask yourself, who do I spend the most time with? And how do I let them influence me? Am I reminding myself that if I am here, if I am stuck or by choice, it is because there are lessons for me to learn? What can I learn? I had a principal once that was such a micromanager. He so needed control, right? And he was truly mystified by me. We bumped heads many times. By the grace of the universe, I was in a place spiritually that encountering this man, I was able to recognize this was a lesson for me, a test to pass, to not let it pull out of me things that I don't want, to not let it fill me and become a part of who I am because of who this human being was. And from that place and that presence, not only was he not able to negatively affect me, I was able to positively affect him, even in the face of his sometimes irate, sometimes bullying word choice and behavior. Or we have coworkers who, out of their own insecurity, perhaps, point out things that maybe we should be doing differently when we shouldn't, right? Or even worse, tell us things that we don't need to know. You don't really need to know if somebody's talking shit about you if it's not important, right? You don't really need to know if someone doubts your ability to do something. You've been assigned it. You're going to show them you can. Is that other person really being a friend by telling you that happened? Sometimes yes, other times no. And why do we care? Why do we care? If we are doing the best we can, if we are holding ourselves spiritually upright, we won't care, right? Our minds will be clear. We will not allow their dirty feet to walk through our brains. But we still might feel lonely because we don't feel heard and we don't feel understood. It's hard, right? And then the more enlightened that you are, the more people wig out when you vent to them. I just did this recently. I vented to a friend and man, she tried to diagnose the shit out of me. It's like, what? I can't vent unless something's seriously wrong? I need to vent sometimes too. I want to talk shit sometimes too. I'm a human being. And yet when I need that, sometimes I feel lonely because who can I talk that way to? Right? Very few people. But then we have to remind ourselves, I have to remind myself, I am not alone. Not only are there places where I can reach out for wise people and spiritual content and good conversation, maybe it's not the person next door. Maybe it's not even your partner or one of your friends. Maybe it is a podcast. Maybe it is someone online. Maybe it's an online community. Maybe it's even just scrolling through something like, you know, my Facebook page or my Instagram page, knowing that there are thousands of people looking at the same thing, desiring the same thing. Sometimes that can fill the void. But what does it the most is recognizing that you're not actually lonely in this physical world. You happen to be someone who remembers what spiritual connection feels like. And that's a beautiful thing. And no, we're not going to feel it here every day, all the time. We're not, because this is a human place. This is life school. And any moment, any instant, any human that we are able to feel a spiritual connection with, that is icing on the cake, beloved. It will not be all day, every day. If we were supposed to have that, we would not be on the earth. And so when we shift our thinking, when we remind ourselves that we are blessed, we are lucky, we remember what spiritual connection feels like. We have touched it on this physical plane and know we'll touch it again. And actually, most of us, if you found your way here, you already know a few places where you can touch it anytime you want to. I realize how naughty that sounds. Yes, we will return to the spiritual plane where we feel spiritual connection 24/7, 7 days a week. And of course, that will be a place where time doesn't exist. But while we're here, we need to value it when we have it. And we need to rename loneliness, or if not rename it, take the negative connotation off of it. To long for spiritual connection is okay. What does my daughter need to do at school? She needs to recognize she is there with her friends. She is learning. She is a teacher doing the best that she can because she's a human being too, right? And that soon enough, she'll return home to mommy's arms, who will be able to hear everything she needs to say and hug her and make her feel valid and whole. Because that's all we all really want anyway, right? There are moments in time that we're away from spiritual connection, and that's okay. We can value it. We can fill it in with other means of connection when need be, right? Who are we surrounding ourselves with? We can choose that so much more often than we give ourselves credit for, especially now with all this technology. And soon enough, we will return to a place where we feel safe and loved and validated, just like when my daughter comes home from school, right? Yes, people listen to her there. Yes, I 100% believe her teachers have good intentions and do the best they can to listen to her. But that's not a place where they can give her the same kind of direct love and attention I can when she comes home. Just the same as your job, your human friendships may not feel all the needs that your spiritual companions do. And if you don't have any that you can call on the phone or go run and hug, find the ones you can virtually until you can, and get online and find things like the Center for Spiritual Living. Get on meetup.com and look for a metaphysical group, right? Go to a meditation circle or a gong healing. Go someplace where spiritual people gather. Go and just be present with no expectation, because maybe it will be for you and maybe it won't. Years ago, I went to meetup group after meetup group I wanted to find someone like me. I did not. I found like-minded people. I found spiritual people, and I found some spiritual connection. I didn't find anyone like me. I got what I needed instead. I got some validation about my spiritual gifts and things like that. Maybe you'll find out what you're interested in and what you're not. Maybe you'll make a friend. Maybe you won't. But you will have moments of spiritual connection. If you're not someone who likes to meditate, change the name of it. Call it contemplation. Don't let a word turn you off of something that can connect you to the universe and to people who are also connected to the universe in the ways that you need to be. There's no such thing as being bored. There are only boring people, right? And if we decide that there's nothing for us, there won't be. You are not alone. Even if you are someone where you know no one, even if your human aspects of life right now are full of nothing but people who suck, you have me. You have others like me. And there are more that you've yet to find. You decide who you fill your life with. And the more you appreciate it, the more you will draw in the like attracts like. And before you know it, you will have lovely, wonderful relationships in your life. You will also have ones that suck, whether it's a friend or a coworker or whatever. That will happen because this is life school. And without that, you would cease to learn. Until next time, beloved, namaste.
Did I get your attention? Well, good. My name is Michelle, and I am the producer of Lessons from the Universe. I've known Jennifer for about 8 years. When I first met Jennifer, I was struggling with life. Well, let's be honest, we all do. I was dragging around a bag full of my past, and I lacked a clear direction for my future. I wanted so much more for my life. I just didn't know where to start. Then I met this feisty little brunette during a photo shoot. I knew instantly she was different and our lives would intersect for many years to come. I had no idea in how many ways or the profound impact this little brunette with a podcast would have in my life. The channeled messages Jennifer gave me turned on so many lights and opened so many doors inside myself. I let go of the past. You know, the past I'd been dragging around for so long. Well, for the most part, I found myself morphing back into my old self. I was happier, more energetic, ready to do the next adventure, the next travel, just more outgoing in general. When Jennifer decided to start Lessons from the Universe podcast, I was 150% on board to support her in any way possible. I know the impact her channel messages had in my life. I also know the feeling of being lost and confused walking through life, feeling like you're alone. You'll benefit from the wisdom, clear messages, and content of this podcast. So I encourage each of you to show her some love in the form of monetary contributions, even as little as $5 a month. Makes a big difference in supporting Lessons from the Universe. Think of it this way. For the price of a coffee or drink each month, you will be supporting these messages getting to even more listeners. For $20 a month, you're going to spend some one-on-one time with Jennifer through the patron downloads. So if you have it, give it. If not, I hope it comes to you. Thank you for listening, and as always, have a great day.
I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. If you haven't already, come out and find me on social media. And if you're inspired by the podcast, please consider clicking that little green patron button at the top of the screen. Here, you can help keep us growing and flowing, and you can gain access to what I call Jen in real life. That is patron-only content. If you're wanting to learn more, I recently introduced educational sessions specifically to address people's questions that come up around the podcast. These are the only sessions available to new clients, and you can find details in the About section of my Facebook page. I want to send each of you light and love, clarity and wisdom, and know that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast who's got your back. Until next time, beloved, namaste.